produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Is brought to you by Josie's Inspiration Radio Network USA World, produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Network USA World. USA toll-free callers 1-310-742-1858. Again, that's 1-310-742-1858.
Hey, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you are in the world today. It is Reverend Carla Oles, a.k.a. Rev O, and I am so glad, that you are joining me with Carla's Pearls of Wisdom. First, I just want to give a shout out to the wonderful Josie Hopkins, who has me as a participant through Josie's Inspirations, and a wonderful, wonderful shout-out to Kayla Padgett, who is the head and the CEO of Finding My Way Radio. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we've been going through the power of RE, and we were talking about some words that begin with RE, and the prefix RE means to do over. Well, I have got something in store for you all today. Today we have two people who are going to give us a remix, I guess if you could call it that, and of two different perspectives of the coronavirus. So the coronavirus has affected just about every continent in the world, every country, I think, except for Antarctica and Greenland. Excuse me. So we're going to talk about the coronavirus today. We're going to talk about it from a spiritual perspective, and we're also going to talk about it from a psychological perspective. I think those are two very important perspectives that need to be addressed, that really need to be addressed, because it affects all of us mentally and psychologically as well as spiritually. So today I have on Lady Sydney Gaskins. She is a licensed professional counselor, and she has a plethora of experience, and she has expertise in various areas that include grief counseling and other areas. We also have Pastor John Fitzpatrick, who is the pastor of One Love Christian Ministries in Durham, North Carolina. And both of them are going to give us their perspectives. So before we get started, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you, O Lord, first of all, we just want to tell you thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your love, your peace, your mercy, Father God. I ask, Lord, that you forgive us for all of our sins, excuse me, and our unrighteousness, Heavenly Father. I ask right now that you touch Lady Sydney and Pastor Fitzpatrick, Lord God, and myself as we come to share with your people from all over the world. We thank you and we praise you, and let everything we've done be done to and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lady Sydney, are you there?
I am.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. And Pastor Fitzpatrick, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us today. Looked online a few minutes ago, and the number of coronavirus people who actually have the disease is up to 135,000 in the United States, and there are a little over 3,000 people who have already passed away, and 512 people passed away today alone from the virus. And then there are about 5,000 people who have recovered or are in the recovering process. Now, I do have a couple of praise reports. Two ladies that are in a group that I'm a part of, both of them have the coronavirus. We pray for them on Friday, and Saturday one was getting better, and then Sunday the other one actually walked and went out of the hospital back home.
Amen.
So we know that there are people who are being healed, and we know there are people who are succumbing to the disease, to the virus, and are passing away. And there are some psychological aspects to all of this, and when we look at it from the financial perspective, some people may have children, some people may have parents. So, Lady Sydney, can you talk to us about, first of all, just the fact that the issue exists and how that affects us? Like, we may have increased anxieties and people may not be able to sleep at night. Can you just go ahead and just discuss that part?
You kind of took the words right out of my mouth. There's actually a long list. I want to make sure that I address two sides of it. So there are some things that people experience that we would consider to be negative. At the same time, perspectives can be a little bit different. You know?
Okay.
So there's some people who are going to look at it as opportunity, right? And that doesn't necessarily mean predatory. It could be, but so the negative things may be increased anxiety.
Okay.
Anxiety attacks. And anxiety attacks look like feeling overwhelmed, you know, an overwhelming feeling of panic, a feeling of losing control. And generally in your body, you may feel like you're going to pass out, but you don't. So it might be like lightheadedness or something like that, being hypervigilant, so worried about everything, you know. What's that noise? What's that feeling? You know, my head hurts, just being hypervigilant. And then feeling of kind of trembling or shaking, and sometimes hot flashes. And I say hot flashes, and what I want to do is make sure that they're distinguished from what women would feel normally as a hot flash.
Okay.
Right? So if you're not going through menopause or feeling premenopausal, you probably wouldn't be feeling that, if that makes sense, right? So being able to distinguish the two. But the other things that people would feel right now would be depression, added stress, low mood and irritability, and those two are very prevalent. They're probably the ones that most people feel, because you feel that with depression and you feel that with anxiety. Right, so you'd feel irritability with anxiety, and low mood comes with depression, so that makes sense. You mentioned insomnia, and that's probably, I would say, a big one that people may not attach to what's going on, and there's three parts to insomnia. So many people think it's just not being able to sleep, and that's not true.
Okay.
So insomnia is really the having the opportunity to sleep, but not being able to sleep, if that makes sense, right?
Yes.
And so the three parts to insomnia would be having a hard time falling asleep. So those people who might go to bed and they just can't fall asleep. They're in bed, they're, you know, I don't know, looking at their phone, or they put the phone down and it takes forever for them to fall asleep.
Okay.
Then you have the person who get in bed and they fall asleep, but then they wake up in the middle of the night. And that's not just using the bathroom. Does that make sense? People sometimes say, oh, but I use the bathroom. Well, when you get back in the bed, can you go back to sleep? Yes. Oh, okay. Well, you're probably okay.
Okay.
It's
okay.
The person who wakes up in the middle of the night and can't fall back to sleep after about 30 minutes.
Okay.
If that makes sense. And then the last one is the person who goes to bed, falls asleep, and they wake up markedly before their alarm clock. So they're always up earlier. If you're supposed to get up at 6, you're up at 4.
Okay.
You know, you're up at, you know, up at 2, up at 5:30 all the time, and you don't feel rested. You know,
okay.
Those type of things. And then some other things you do see, you know, increased anger, and there's been a lot of reports and concerns for relationships. You know, how do two people who generally may not see each other all day, how are they dealing with being quarantined together?
Yes.
No, it looks very different when you kind of get to do what you do at your job, but now you have to be home and do your job and take care of the kids and be with this person that you love, but you may not want to spend that much time with like that. Right.
Okay.
That's the truth. People say, oh, I just love my husband and wife. Yeah, that's great. Until you can't leave. Then what do you do? Right?
Yeah.
For those relationships that are somewhat okay, you know. And so you might see some cracks in relationships. You see emotional exhaustion. And I think that's a big one that we may be seeing with people that they've been quarantined for a while. You know, and they're used to being gone, or they're hearing about COVID, and they're hearing about people dying. They're hearing about the lack of this and, you know, all of those type of things on a regular basis. Well, now you're emotionally exhausted.
Okay.
And then you have some of the typical things would be like fear, nervousness, sadness. And I think it's good to talk about the teens that were seniors, that are seniors this year.
Oh,
even
yeah.
Those who are in college, right? They're supposed to graduate. And now they may not have the milestones. They may graduate, right? But it won't look the same. So you don't have prom. You don't have the prom pictures that many have been waiting for. They don't get, you know, get that experience. Then you don't get to walk the stage. You don't have the, you know, the cap and gown and all that kind of thing for graduation. And so that goes into some grief for them.
Okay.
You know, what did they expect was going to happen? What did the families expect? You know, those type of things. So those are some of the things that you would see. But on the other side, I want to say about the opportunities, maybe, excuse me, just people looking at, you know, what are the new ways that I can do certain things, right? Like, I know in counseling, many people are now like, okay, I've been thinking about doing online counseling or mental health. This is an opportunity for me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually read in one of the groups I'm in on Facebook that someone is used to, we have electronic systems that you can put in notes and that kind of thing. And she said, you know, I found something that I can actually make some money on because I didn't know there were people who didn't know this system as well as I do. So she's been training other counselors to be able to do those things, you know. So just looking at new opportunities to either help in your neighborhood or help in your family or in your profession or, you know, take up something new,
okay.
You know, paint
okay.
or go run. I don't know.
Or clean out
but
your closet.
But people using it as an opportunity. What is that?
Or just clean out your closet.
I was going to say that, too. Someone else said, you know, they were finishing some projects, right? Look
exactly.
around. What are some things you've been doing?
Exactly.
You should have, yeah, being able to complete those things.
Okay, so,
Pastor
Fitzpatrick. Oh,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lady Sydney.
No, I just said those are the good parts, being able to, and I think it's good to distinguish and have people start thinking about how are you looking at things as well psychologically. Like, is it all gloom and doom, and how can you actually begin to change your perspective on what's happening to help support you being mentally well during an uncertain time?
Okay. Pastor Fitzpatrick. Now, Pastor Fitzpatrick is the pastor of One Love Christian Church. So can you give us a perspective from the spiritual side?
Well, you know, obviously corona itself and any disease or condition, you know, it causes people, particularly when the law says you stay inside the house, it causes people to have to make adjustments and change, like Sydney said. So it causes us to rely on our faith and begin to pray. You know, one thing about Christianity is about having faith. And one thing about faith, you really know that your faith is true after it's tested. It's one thing to have faith when everything is going great in your life, but can you exercise that faith when you don't have control? You know, a lot of times we are able to control and manipulate some environments, and yet if we'll say we're going to step out on faith, but really know that fallback would be, I can handle it. What happens, though, when something you can't handle, then you really have to rely on your faith for real. That's what's happening now. When they tell you to stay at home, and now you can't control whether or not you can work or not. You don't control whether or not money is still coming to your bank account. You don't control whether or not you can go out and do all these things you did before. You're at the mercy of, you know, the law. So spiritually speaking, we've got to be prayed up to know how to take whatever comes our way and use it for the good. So as Christians, you know, we have been challenged that even through adversity, to learn how to stand strong and rooted in our faith and our belief despite what comes against us. And we have to believe that no matter what, you know, we're going to just trust God, bottom line, through Jesus Christ, that we're going to have the victory over this thing. In fact, we already have the victory over it, and that we don't have to walk in fear, but rather walk in faith. But part of that also is we have to obey the laws of the land to the point that it has not come contrary to our word. And as long as the law says we have to do something and it does not conflict with our word, we have to abide. So I think spiritually we have this conundrum. Mm-hmm.
And that's the other thing that I was going to say, too, that I didn't say earlier. Pastor Fitzpatrick is also an attorney, a licensed practicing attorney. And I wanted you to also, since you mentioned that, the way the church follows under the law of meeting and being together and gathering, how does that fall into with you all and where you are?
Well, there was some debate about that because as a body of faith, for religious purposes, I think the government would have a hard time trying to say we cannot meet. I think it would be a hard time to come on the church grounds and say you have to get out because of what we understand to be separation of state and church, whether it's stated or not. We understand that the government can't control it so much when it comes to religious assemblies or constitutional right. So I believe that if somebody want to rebel and say, no, we're going to meet no matter what, then the government may have a hard time at being able to constitutionally enforce any mandate or statute or, you know, ordinance that's been imposed to prohibit such assembly. I think you'll have a problem with that. Now, most pastors, particularly those who are strong in the word, understand that as pastors, our goal isn't just to put souls in the seats. Our goal is not also don't put salaries over souls. Our goal is to make sure we protect the sheep to the best of our ability as we're led by God. So we have an obligation to make sure we make sound decisions, to make sure that the welfare, spiritual and physical welfare of our sheep that we're stewarding over are cared for. So if we realize that bringing folk in, whether they be sinners or not sinners, who come into the church and can have our elderly not be protected or covered and get sick or vice versa, isn't worth the risk, some would say. So then some would say, we'll just keep that away so nobody gets sick and still have church online. Others can have their mindset is, well, if we have faith, we believe no matter what, it's going to be okay. Just come together and just trust God's going to bless you in the building. But as for anything, though, I mean, you got to be careful with that because sometimes faith can dress itself up as foolishness can dress itself up as faith. I mean, we got to use some wisdom as well. I don't want to be the one that makes a decision to say, hey, I want all, you know, 150 members, 2 months to come together. We're going to do this despite all of the warning signs around that says, it's not pretty much safe to be more than 10 people together, and we're going to bring 150, 200 together, really? You know, at some point you got to say, okay, it's not just one little rumor out there. People are getting sick left and right. So you have to use some wisdom And if I'm going to err, let it err on the side of taking care of God's people versus err on the side of pride and just trying to get money and just trying to fill seats and have fame and all that. Because the word still goes out on Sundays. The word still goes out on Wednesday. So people are getting the word. In fact, we've got more people to watch and listen through this internet cycle. So God has a way of taking whatever negative is and turning it into a positive despite the things that happen along the way.
So Sydney also mentioned that in a prior conversation that we had as well, is that now people are able, the coronavirus has somewhat changed the landscape of therapy and church and Christianity, because you can now do both online. So, Pastor Fitzpatrick, you just mentioned that that the church online has increased. Have you seen a change also, Lady Sydney, in your therapy and the way you have been able to practice?
It's actually, for me, not really.
Okay.
And the reason I say that is because I have, excuse me, I've always done therapy online as well, so telemedicine.
Oh, okay.
So that's not new for me. I see it as different for many people because most people want to be able to come in and see someone because it's kind of a way to get away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think most therapists, we strive to have an office space that is welcoming, that is a little bit different than any other place that people come, and they can actually take off the mask that they might wear everywhere else. So people look for that. And when you've done all you can to create that for people and then you have to now set up at home and do video, it's very different for some people. They're used, they want that interaction, that face-to-face, and be able to see someone's body language and, you know, that type of thing. So it is very different for them. For me, not so much. For some of my clients, a little bit.
Okay.
It's a little bit different.
Okay.
But for many therapists, it's a brand new. It really is a brand new world for them to have to set up like that. And many don't like it. That's the truth. Just like many don't like being quarantined. Period.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't like that having to do that.
Okay. So, Pastor Fitzpatrick, have your current members been well receiving of having church online?
Absolutely. The number one goal, of course, is to get that word and to grow. What's bothering a lot of our members, particularly with the name of One Love Christian Church, is not being able to show that love, not be able to hug, like Sydney said, not be able to be in fellowship with another. There's power when Christians come together because we're able to just, there's a unity there, there's a fire there, there's a transformation that happens. There's a transference. There's so much that happens when children of God come together in one accord. And because of that, you miss that congregational kind of flow. But at the end of the day, it's all about getting God's word out and sharing to the world that Jesus Christ loves them all, despite whatever they're going through or been through. And to do that, this platform now has just made it even a greater scale for His word to be pronounced. Our members have jumped on board. I think it's going to change the dynamics, absolutely, of the church in the modern-day ecclesia, because they're going to now get to the place where, even when it starts back, they're going to be like, I like this, you know, Sunday at home thing. I like being able to sit back all the time and be still in my pajamas and so on and so forth. And if that's the case, then, you know, it is what it is. They have to get the word, get their assignment, and go from there. Sometimes, though, you have to get to that place where you are going to have to make a decision to be connected, though, and to touch on folk, you know, to be able to pray with your pastor and your first lady, and you shed a tear, you can cry on our shoulders. I mean, that's what it really is all about, is making sure we're there for them the best way we can be. And there's some limitations, they're virtual, but there's also some positives. So our church is taking it on pretty well so far.
Great. So those were some of the opportunities that Lady Sydney mentioned earlier as well. I guess those will be some opportunities.
Can I say something about
what
John said? So, you know, I think it is very important that he brought up being in the same space with people and touch and relationship,
mm-hmm.
because we aren't necessarily meant to be by ourselves, right? So touch is a huge thing for humans in general. Mm-hmm. You know, if people want to research, they can. But there's been many studies about babies being held, right? The way that they feel nurtured, loved, right? That type of thing. So being touched, being around people, being in their presence, knowing that you're cared for that in that way does make a difference for emotion, for your psychological development, feeling of security, that type of thing. But also on the other side of it, I think what he said is important as well. When you look at being able to, someone who may not be able to come to the church regularly, it might be a person who has some physical disability, but they can see the service, right, and still feel some type of connection in some way, I think that's important as well. Mm-hmm. So being able to create that balance, but also know, yes, that person who's at home all the time does need someone to come see them. They need someone to, you know, come have a talk with them, see how they're doing, touch them, physically touch them, and let them know that they're cared for. I think that's a big thing that we sometimes don't talk about, you know, mm-hmm. that people are not meant to be sitting by themselves. You know, we love to hug kids, but then as adults, mm-hmm. sometimes we forget how much we need that until it's not there. Mm.
That's right.
That's true. That's true. Did you want to expound on that, Pastor Fitzpatrick?
No, I think she's absolutely right. I think she's right.
Excellent.
That makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. So let me ask both of you all this, and whichever one wants to answer first can. How do you see us moving forward after the virus, the pandemic is over, within, like, let's say the next 6 months, and then within the next year or so? How do you see us moving forward? And as Ms. Sydney mentioned earlier, for the children who didn't get to graduate, for the children who didn't actually physically get to walk across the stage, or who won't have official prom pictures, for those seniors that stayed in the house for the last, I don't know, 6 months, and now they're out, because within 6 months that'll be, what, September, October-ish? So, and then it'll be the fall will be coming in. So how does, you know, that look for us mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually?
It's going to be a hard, I think it's going to be an adjustment, no doubt, because this is like an epidemic. That it just hit hard out of nowhere. I don't know how much the government or the world have prepared for it. So I think there's going to be some adjustments that got to be made, certainly. I mean, I feel for the seniors this year in high school who are about to go off to college, who lose out on that last experience. But hopefully they'll put it in perspective and realize, hey, the sacrifices I made for the last couple of months are worth it, because now hopefully I get to live for a lot longer, more time.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll see the big picture, you know. Hopefully they'll see the big picture. It be that as it may, I'm hoping that some counties and places will put things together where maybe I had talked about doing a big event in our community neighborhood, like a big prom for different schools, and just make it available and get some partnerships together. I mean, even if it is just some kind of a gathering, a DJ, some music, something to at least celebrate those who made it. And if people come together, they can make it happen and still keep the heartbeat of success at the forefront of the kids' minds and appreciation for what they've done. So it's still a way to communicate, come together. If we pull together and work together for the greater good, I think it'll be fine. It'll be a transition. Again, even with seniors in college, just the last year to get, you know, a pro look, but now they can't play any of these sports in the spring, so that was their chance to shine. So it's just a lot is affected. The NBA has been affected. Hopefully the NFL won't be, hopefully, but there's just so much that we rely on as a society that it's going to be a transition. Mentally, I get used to it. I mean, a week or two, you probably can bite the bullet, but months and months or something, it wears on your psyche. Because now you get, for some people, if you stay in the house like all the time, you get conditioned to always being here. So now you have to come back out, and And to do that, it can be challenging, you know. It's almost like the door's open, come on out. Well, no, I'm so used to being here now. And, you know, it can have an impact on a lot. It can have an impact on a lot mentally. I think immaturity has an impact to it as well. If you're able to be creative on how you can make the time pass, look at the positives that happen while you are at home. Hopefully spending more time with your kids, learning new things together, learn new crafts together, family time together, if there is such a thing in the particular home that's there. Making sure you go outside more, exercise more, you know, read more, pray more, study more. There's a lot of things you can do. I'm going to get a lot more work done now that I'm home, actually. But I'm still wondering how am I going to make ends meet, but I'm just trusting God with it. But I'm doing more work here at the house, things I kept putting to the side, and I said I'd do one day when I could take a day off. I'm getting a lot of those things done. So to me, I'm like, wow, it's strengthening me. So when I come out and be that much stronger and wiser. So everybody has to find their own flow. It caused me to draw closer to God and talk to him more through Jesus Christ and just begin to look at my Bible, read my Bible more and prepare more lessons more and teach more on Facebook Live and on Periscope more than I've ever done. So it's helping me mentally, spiritually, physically, psychologically, every area. I'm learning something from this. And if folk have that same mindset, what can I learn from this rather than let me succumb to this, then I think they'll come out better on the other end.
Okay. Go ahead, Miss Sydney.
I agree with a lot of what he said because I think that, you know, there's been studies done that after you have, and I don't want to say pandemic, but, you know, you have something like equine flu that hit Australia, right?
Okay.
That
okay.
A lot of the things that they needed were mental health supports, right? Because people were depressed. There was actually one of the studies showed that children who were quarantined had a higher rate of depression, and their parents also showed symptoms of like trauma-related diagnoses. So we're going to need more people who have the ability to work with children, which would be the schools. So he talked about graduation. So what do you do with, you know, teachers now? They should be looking at being able to have those conversations with teachers, doing more training with teachers about what are you going to see when you come back. Because when you think about it, usually kids are in school until May or June.
Mm-hmm.
And then they might go back in August or September. Now we're talking about kids who have been out of school and out of a routine.
Since March, the middle of March.
And might go back in August or September. That's a long stretch to not actually have that routine. But the other part may be that you pick up some things, they pick up some things that help them, like he said, mature. They had to go through some other things. The other part is, and I didn't touch on this, and I wish I had at the beginning, I'm just going to drop this real quick, is one of the things that isn't talked about a lot are those people who are stuck at home with a person who is their abuser, right?
Oh,
so I
want
to make sure that we do kind of say, you know, what happens to those people after? What are we doing to support them? How can we support them right now? Because you have elders who are abused.
Hold on one second. We're going to put a pin in that, and we're going to save that for next time. So let us pray. We want to just thank. We're going to thank Pastor Fitzpatrick and Lady Sydney for coming by, this week. We're going to pray right quick, and we're going to prepare for next week. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this time together. Thank you for allowing us just to be together and to discuss. About psychological and spiritual differences that are going on in our community and our society. We thank you so much, Pastor Fitzpatrick and Lady Sydney for stopping by. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray, amen. And if you need to find Sydney Gaskins, she's at www.sydney, S-I-D-N-E-Y, Gaskins, GASKINS.com. And if you'd like to reach out to Pastor John Fitzpatrick, he is at www.visit1onelove.org. Thank you all so much for joining us.
produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.